So what do you know of the Irish culture? The Irish neighbours next door, or the people that you meet in the restaurants, wherever you may be at work, what do you actually know about them? Now, we've got here Michael Nugent of the Irish Business Network and also a member of the Dubai Irish Society, and Zora Qureshi, who is here at ARN News Centre. And just having a bit of fun there, because Saminay is very good at finding out these things that nobody else knew about. But the birthday bumps came from Ireland.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I grew up with birthday bumps.
Did you?
Yeah. Do you know? Were you familiar with birthday
bumps?
No,
I wasn't. No, I didn't know that this was one of the gifts received on one's birthday in parts of the world. But apparently it does date back to, or go back to Ireland. And it is on that person's birthday, the age they are is the number of bumps that they receive. Now, there's variations to this. So either they're kind of, two people hold them, one at their arms and the legs. Or children, if they're young enough, they're held upside down and their head is bumped on the ground.
We're not advising you to do this at home.
Cultural traditions, you know, cultural practices. Michael, is this something that you experienced, or you know people experienced?
Well, I think it explains a lot. I have to say, I was never subjected to that, and I haven't seen, I've heard of the bumps, of course, being thrown up and down, but dropped on your head 10 or 15 yeah. times. No, I have to say that's a new one on me.
That's a new one. Well, hopefully the bumps would be very light,
yes.
and, you know, symbolic, as lots of things are. I mean, the superstitions, some that probably are outdated, some that are still practiced. Just to give you an example, dropping coins while on board a boat can bring a heavy storm. So these are things that maybe are said or discussed. Shaving every Sunday starts toothaches. To prevent it, always have the jawbone of a haddock as a talisman, you know, close by. So these superstitions or ideas that maybe was passed down, cutting the nails of a baby before he turns a year old might make him into a kleptomaniac.
Any of these, did you grow up with these stories?
No, I have to say, most of these are new on me, but to be honest with you, I think we made a lot of these up just to keep everybody else entertained. Yeah. It makes us sound more windswept and interesting.
Oh, Tristan's joining us here from the ARN News Centre as well. Good morning to you, Tristan.
Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning. Did you hear some of those superstitions from Ireland there?
I did indeed.
Is it true? Do they come from Ireland? Is it something you've heard growing up there?
Which suspicion is that now in particular?
Suspicion or the birthday bumps apparently originated in Ireland.
Oh, there are so many. There's so many different suspicions and tall stories. You know, that's the part of the blarney, you know. So whether it's true or whether it's false, that's for you to...
Can you think of any, maybe Zohar or Michael, can you think of any particular superstitions that you grew up with that maybe are more accurate than the ones that I have?
Well, there's a tree, and I have to say, I'm going to embarrass myself by remembering the name of it, but it's called a fairy tree, whatever. And of course, in the middle of a field, you'd often see in Ireland one tree sitting there in the middle of, you know, hundreds of acres, totally untouched and never cut round it. And of course, if you cut it down, then you're in big trouble. The leprechauns will come and get you. You know, so
there it is.
I never tempted it.
And you didn't try it? No.
Always left it in place.
Ah, and for you, Zora, the leprechaun.
I did, yeah. I believed in leprechauns when I was younger. I used to believe that they were living down by the stream underneath the stones that were there. And we never used to go there because they'd come and take us, and then they'd have to, you know, ask for gold for us to be given back to our parents. So nobody ever used to think that they were nice things. We used to think that they were evil, you know, cheeky little people. But as I grew up, I stopped believing in them.
Glad to hear it. And you, Tristan, have we just blown it for you, that myth at the leprechaun? I mean, do you still believe in the leprechaun?
Oh, I did for a long time, but no more. But that's all part of the experience. I mean, it's Irish people, it's in our culture, fairies and goblins and all of these things. So there's great superstitions throughout Irish culture. So yeah, that's part of it. But I don't believe in it anymore myself.
What part of Ireland are you from, Tristan?
I'm from Dublin, the capital.
Okay.
It adds to the humor, doesn't it? As you mentioned, Michael, it really does add to that kind of humor and the mythology and the stories. Great storytellers, and what better way to add such magical, mythical creatures to the stories to make it even more interesting.
Is there anything that kind of, I don't know, annoys you, or you think, oh, that's just not right, because or the way people sort of stereotype the Irish? Is there anything that springs to mind where you think, oh, I hate it when people say that?
Well, I think from my perspective, no. I think you have to take everything with a good sense of humour. And I think the Irish are noted for their sense of humour. If you go to Germany, they'll make jokes about another country, and the English make jokes about somebody, and so on and so on. It happens all over the world. But I think that is something that the Irish are noted for, is that we can take a joke and we can give it out as well. You know, so.
Well, certainly great comedians coming out of Ireland, and musicians also. We'll get to that in a moment. But anything for you guys that kind of annoys you, or you think, or irritates you, that people might say about the Irish?
I suppose there is stereotypes. I mean, yesterday I was at a well-known establishment watching the England-Ireland match. And never did I hear so many references to potatoes amongst the predominantly English crowd, but it was taken in good humour.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, unfortunately, the result of the match wasn't taken with such good humour.
No.
You know?
That was a bit of potato.
39.
Though, yeah, sorry.
And for you, Zora, anything that springs to mind?
No.
No.
No, I usually just take it. Since I've been here, a lot of people make fun of my accent. They don't understand when I say nigh or I say kai or whatever, and they kind of don't understand, but I have a laugh
that?
With it.
I didn't understand.
Kai, how do I say that?
A cow.
Yes, indeed. We kind of add a I at the up in the north, so it kind of...
Like the animal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cow. Okay.
Moo.
Ah.
Moo, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Say it the way you say it.
Kai.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's charming, though. It really is, the accent.
And what about when people meet you for the first time, Zora, and you're a buyer, and then you speak? What sort of reaction do you get?
It's a real mind game. They kind of just look at me and go, oh, did you study abroad? You know, is your mother Irish? Is your father local? And I'd be like, no, I'm from Ireland. No, but where are you originally from? Why do you look like that? And I'd be like, listen, you know, I'm from Ireland, and I'm Muslim, so that's why I dress like this. I actually covered, not the best day to cover, I was the only girl in a Catholic school, and it was September 11th, and I decided to put the scarf on that day. So I kind of got a lot of bullying the first couple of months. But afterwards, when people kind of, you know, knew where I was and where I was from and knew my family, then it was a bit less. But that's something I struggled with when I was being in Ireland, because they had their own conflict between the Protestants and the Catholics, and then it was just something new for them, you know. But afterwards, they were fine.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the reaction of the Irish. So do they also push for further information to link to what they see in your physical appearance? Do they also say, but what is your background, and want you to explain whether... No, so in Ireland, it doesn't happen as much, right?
Yeah.
Which is, a lot of people say this in the United States as well. If they're Muslim, if they're covered, and if they say, I'm American, it's left at that. But over here in the UAE, because there are so many differences and in this diverse population and cross-cultural marriages, we almost want the whole story of, let's go back five ancestors.
That's,
you know,
right,
to
yeah.
see what it is that makes you the way you are, or the choices that you've made.
That's right.
Now, let's bring it back round to the Irish Business Network, and lots going on there. You're also a member of the Dubai Irish Society. So give us a heads up, Michael, of what's coming up. I know that you've got the Young Ambitious Entrepreneur Programme running. Tell us a little bit about that. That's with the IBN.
Well, that's right. With the Irish Business Network, they decided to come up with this Young Ambitious Entrepreneur. They had their first meeting with about 80, 90 people in attendance. And I think it was really... recognising that there are a lot of young Irish people out here who might maybe not want to come to what they see as perhaps a more formal, stiff event, which is not actually true, but there's perhaps a perception of that at the Irish business breakfasts. So in order to encourage them, in order to really draw those young people in, of which there are many, many here, a lot of them involved, of course, in the Celts, which is the sporting side. So Brian and his team came up with this idea, which was a fantastic initiative. Great attendance on the first event. And they're now taking that further by having a mentoring program. So you maybe have somebody in their early 20s being mentored by, as we've mentioned before, some of the captains of industry here who are holding very senior positions. So that's the next step now, is a mentoring program, which is just about to take off. So a young person coming in here, 23, 24, can hook up with a more senior business person and get some guidance as to how to develop their career and learn from that wisdom.
Well, we've got some young Irish here, Tristan and Zora, so maybe that's something you might be interested in, particularly from a news angle, if not for yourself. So we'll do a little bit of our own networking around the table on Voices of Diversity. And with the Irish Society, always a lot happening, a lot of fun, a lot of social events. Of course, we just had St. Patrick's Day, but what's coming up over the next few months?
Well, with the Irish Society, there's always something going on. Of course, we just had our annual ball. That was on Friday night. Fantastic evening. Oversubscribed, 600 tickets sold, no room for any more. And, of course, there were many other events going on around the city over the weekend. But the Irish Society is very active. Of course, the next thing will be the Rose of Tralee. That's coming up in April now, over a number of days, culminating in the ball at the end of April. And that, of course, again, is an extremely popular event where the representative for the UAE will be chosen and then of course go back to the main event in Ireland. So that's just one of the things going on. The next thing that we have coming up with the Irish Business Network is this inaugural event, which is called the Taste of Ireland Green Box Competition. That will be on the 25th of May, being held up at the Ibn Battuta Gate Hotel. Basically 12 chosen teams, the Emirates Culinary Guild are supporting us. They're going to contact all the major culinary establishments, hotels in the UAE, using products mainly sourced from Ireland, of course, and the most 12 most creative menus. Those hotels will then be shortlisted to come and do an actual cook-off, to cook for 30 people each. So there'll be 360 people in the room at the night. It'll be judged. We have celebrity chefs flying in. We've had very generous sponsorship from people like Donald Russell Meats and Yall Seafood and many others, and the Erin Group, who are supporting us with oils and cheese. And so it's really going to be something that we hope is just going to continue to grow and grow as the years go on.
Sounds fabulous. We didn't talk about the food from Ireland. We'll do more of that in the second hour. But for now, Michael, contact details if people want to get involved with the Irish Business Network or the Irish Society.
Right, well, Dubai Irish Society, best thing to do is just Google it and it'll come up. You'll see their websites there and a lot of additional information. IrishBusinessNetwork.me has just been launched, and again, there's really a wealth of information, but also through LinkedIn. There's over 1,000 members participating on the Irish Business Network through LinkedIn, so multiple ways to get involved, and we do hope that the membership will just continue to grow and grow, and that will certainly be our target over the coming years.
For now, thank you very much, Michael Nugent of the Irish Business Network. And Tristan and Zora, are you sticking around for a little bit longer? Great. Okay, stay with us as we move into the second hour, celebrating and championing the Irish culture. And we've got some questions, so keep them coming in about Irish culture. Somebody here asking who sings when Irish eyes are smiling, and some more messages about the bump.